The death toll of Wednesday's 7.2 earthquake has gone up to 10 people. The latest fatality was a 65-year-old man who had been buried under rubble at the Xiaozhuilü Trail in Taroko National Park. More than 600 people remain stranded in the General Taroko area with no road access out, including the guests at the Silk's Place Taroko Hotel. More than 10 people remain unaccounted for. 7 hotel staffers were rescued on Thursday afternoon after a search and rescue team discovered their location thanks to a video drone. The staff had been stuck on the road that crosses through the park for more than a day. They had been traveling on a bus that was caught in a rock slide when the earthquake struck. A priority for rescuers was tending to one of the victims whose legs had been broken by falling debris. Rescuers continue searching for victims in Taroko, climbing over collapsed hillsides and walking through rivers to save lives as soon as possible. Xiaobi Kim won't officially be Taiwan's vice president until May 20th. Yet that isn't stopping the former legislator of Hualien County from ensuring disaster victims in Hualien to receive help from the government. On Thursday morning, Xiao, Premier Chen Jianren, and a host of lawmakers inspected earthquake damage in the eastern county, which will be receiving a significant amount of disaster relief and subsidies.
Premier Chen Jianren and Vice President-elect Xiaobi Kim traveled to Hualien to inspect earthquake damage. They went to the Eastern County's Emergency Operations Center, where they were joined by DPP lawmaker Puma Shen, KMT lawmaker Fu Quanqi, and Hualien County Commissioner Xu Jianwei.
In terms of living arrangements and rent subsidies, in the short term and midterm, this will probably be something the central and local governments will work on together. The marble industry has suffered extremely significant damages, so for this aspect, we'll be asking the Ministry of Economic Affairs for assistance. As for crop losses caused by transportation problems, we'll probably need the executive yuan's assistance. The industry that will be harmed the most is tourism, which means we'll likely need to think about tax cuts across the board, because this place here is now a disaster area. The Directorate General of Budget, Accounting and Statistics has first allocated 300 million NT to the county government, which county officials can use for emergency purposes. Residents in disaster areas will be able to receive emergency relief, cash supplements for survivors, and temporary wage subsidies. Income will also be tax exempt.
Taiwan's biggest quake in 25 years caused a fire to break out at a lab belonging to National Donghua University's College of Science and Engineering. Flames severely damaged over 3,300 square meters of university property.
They'll be providing full support for the facilities and equipment here. If there are aspects that involve communicating with private companies and needing government permission, then our Ministry of Economic Affairs will be giving complete support to the Ministry of Education with work being done here.
Xiao, who represented the DPP in Hualien from 2010 to 2020, led a visit to the university that featured Economics Minister Wang Meihua and Education Minister Pan Wenzhong. Xiao promised the university that they would receive the government's full support.
We know that at first people in damaged buildings need to be saved, but after that's done, we must then help the people return to their normal lives. There are many different tasks and jobs that need to be done, and for these things we'll definitely be working with officials from our current administration.
After witnessing disaster areas, Vice President-elect Xiao and current Premier Chen are determined to rebuild Hualien as fast as possible.
Emergency repairs are underway along the Suhua Corridor after Wednesday's earthquake caused damage to many areas of the road system. Among the key priorities is repairing the collapsed bridge on the north opening of the Daqingshui Tunnel, which is the only road connecting Yilan and Hualien. Let's hear from Vice Premier Zhang
Wenchen.
We hope the road can open provisionally before 6 p.m. on April 6th. The temporary road would allow small vehicles about 4 meters long, to pass through. Then we will work on the original road path to make an improved temporary path that can be used by large vehicles. That should be completed by the end of May.
Until the temporary road is habilitated, the Taiwan Railway will provide 10 additional train services along the east coast. More than 8,000 people descended from the Ye family in Taoyuan's Xingwu district on Thursday returned to the ancestral mausoleum for a massive ceremony. The event is held every year for the Tomb Sweeping Festival and brings together members of the family from faraway places, such as Japan, the U.S., and Brazil. Taoyuan Mayor Zhang Shanzhen says the event is one of the biggest of its kind in Taiwan.
Every year, this mausoleum in Taoyuan's Xingwu district brings together hundreds of members of the Ye family from far and wide to celebrate the Tomb Sweeping Festival. Participants bring offerings to pay respects to the ancestors, filling up the plaza outside of the mausoleum. This year, the family invited Taoyuan Mayor Zhang Shanzheng to take part in the event.
Every Tomb Sweeping Festival, the descendants of the Ye family come to worship their ancestors here in Xingwu. It's one of the largest worship ceremonies of its kind in Taiwan.
Over the past 15 generations, the members of Xingwu's Ye family have spread all over the world. This year, relatives from all the way to the US, Japan, and Brazil made the trip to Taiwan to worship their ancestors.
We expected between 5,000 and 8,000 participants. It looks like about 8,000 people will be coming back here for the worship ceremony. Some will be coming over from overseas. One innovation this year is that we're all going to sing together.
The leader of this year's ceremony, Ye Guojie, brought a roasted pork for the ceremony and prayed for blessings from his ancestors. He also wrote some musical arrangements so that members from all the family branches can come together in song.
We have different works for the ceremony this year. We want to strengthen the bonds within the family. That's what our family is all about.
The ceremony has more than 200 years of history. The annual event is organized by members of the Ye family as well as the managers of the Ye Mausoleum. Participants pray to their ancestors together and engage with one another to keep the different family branches united for generations to come.
Have you ever heard of Tainan's turtle cakes? A traditional Tainan cake maker adopted the turtle as its totem 40 years ago. At first, it was a way to gain a niche in a market flooded with new types of cake from around the world. But before long, the turtle cakes became a local specialty in their own right. They're very popular for birthdays as well as religious occasions. The turtles even have a realistic shell-like pattern on their backs. We visited the old bakery to find out how they're made.
The baker oils the mold, pours in the dough, and paints a crosshatch pattern on top using egg. Into the oven it goes, and when it comes out, you can see the design properly, a turtle.
There was a time when we couldn't compete with things like chiffon cakes, so my grandfather thought, let's make turtles. We were already making cakes, but we just found a way to show off our uniqueness.
When Western-style cake first entered the Taiwanese market, it was a blow for traditional Taiwanese cake makers. But this third-generation Taiwanese baker was undaunted. He repurposed the shape used for ritual turtle rice cakes and made his own DIY molds. Little did the family know, their new product would become a Tainan institution, a must-buy for many local people's birthdays, as well as the birthdays of gods.
We didn't have such big molds back then. My grandpa bent some iron sheets into turtle shapes, and that's how we got these beautiful turtles. He also wanted to make some little ones, which other people can take away.
The turtles have been on sale for 40 years. They have a traditional Taiwanese taste, as well as the creative spirit of tenacious local entrepreneurs.
With the terrifying earthquake on Wednesday causing so much damage and destruction, many have counted themselves lucky to have escaped from just minor injuries or just a bit of personal inconvenience. Multiple drivers were just meters away from being hit by car-sized boulders, and nature lovers from abroad may have spent an unplanned night outdoors. But they're grateful that they had lived to see another day.
A vehicle's dash cam captured the chilling moment that a landslide comes crashing down the mountainside. In order to escape the landslide, drivers in the distance speed away to get away from the debris. They only stop once the vehicle is a safe distance away. Yeah.
Over on the Suhua Highway, two other drivers sense something's wrong and stop as if to wait until the earthquake's over. They soon realize that something's just not right, and they start backing up their vehicles. The rear of the car in front gets smashed by a huge boulder as the driver at the back reverses, pedal to the metal. Over the next few seconds, a torrent of rocks comes rushing down the mountainside. The driver of the car in front later posted to social media saying that everything was okay. Fortunately, the massive boulder had only hit the back of the vehicle. A few nature lovers also had close calls in Taroko National Park. One French tourist was hiking by himself on Xiaodrelu Trail when the earth started shaking violently.
My reflex is just to go against the wall of the cliff, try to shelter myself like this. And then a few seconds later, I just got a rain of rocks and sand on top of me. And I couldn't breathe much. And after a few seconds, it cleared out and I managed to get away from the cliff.
Since the road was blocked by debris, he had to wait until Thursday morning to be rescued by an emergency response team. They then left the area together. Another two foreign nationals were fortunate enough to escape what was hardly a romantic getaway. The two were scootering along Central Cross Island Highway when the earthquake struck. Enormous boulders and countless rocks had flattened the roadside guardrail, and a landslide had knocked out cell phone service in the mountainous area. With no way to call for help, they too had to wait until first responders arrived. They got away safely, but not without perhaps the greatest fright of their lives.
As of 3 p.m. on Thursday, Taiwan had registered more than 300 aftershocks since a 7.2 earthquake struck Hualien on Wednesday morning. Though experts say the number of aftershocks is within expected levels, a seismologist from National Taiwan University's Department of Geosciences says there could be cause for concern for other reasons. He says the aftershocks could trigger movements in the Ryukyu Trench off the coast of Taiwan. He says the trench has the potential to cause a megathrust earthquake like the 2004 Indian Ocean earthquake or the 2011 Tohoku earthquake.
The 7.2 earthquake is the second biggest earthquake on record for more than 100 years. The biggest was the 1999 Gigi earthquake with a magnitude of 7.3.
The quake on Wednesday was the second biggest ever recorded in Taiwan. It's second only to the 1999 Gigi earthquake, which had a magnitude of 7.3 and struck at a depth of just 8 kilometers. The largest intensity then was a 7. The Wednesday Tembler struck deeper, had a slightly lower magnitude and had a lower maximum intensity of 6+ on Taiwan's seismic intensity scale. Still, it was a nightmare for locals.
The aftershocks of the 1999 Gigi earthquake persisted for more than a year. More than 10,000 aftershocks were recorded. This time round, one day has passed and we have recorded more than 300 aftershocks. That figure is on the average. There's no need to worry about aftershocks.
Chen Wenshan from the NTU Department of Geosciences says that the main quake has passed and that the aftershocks that have followed have mostly had magnitudes between 4 and 6. The expert says that the strength and frequency of the aftershocks are decreasing and that conditions should return to normal within a few months to half a year. There are, however, other concerns. The expert says that the Wednesday quake could activate faults in the Central Mountain Range or the Ryukyu Trench, resulting in an even more powerful earthquake.
Faults in the Central Mountain Range could be activated. Actually, some of the quakes and aftershocks with magnitudes of more than 5 have already happened there today. Then, out at sea, there's the Ryukyu Trench, which is what we're most concerned about. There aren't any sensors there, so we don't understand it much. The trench is seen by the world as having the potential to cause a megathrust earthquake.
The 2011 Tohoku quake in Japan and the 2004 Indian Ocean quake were both undersea megathrust earthquakes. Experts say the earthquake on Wednesday was different, caused instead by convergence of the Eurasian plate and the Philippine Sea plate. That caused a reverse fault earthquake similar to the one that hit the Noto Peninsula in Japan earlier this year.
The earthquake that struck at 7:58 on Wednesday broke northward. So as the rupture moved north, the shaking in northern areas was stronger.
Experts say that based on the 1999 Gigi earthquake, up to 10 earthquakes of magnitude 6 to 7 could strike within the next year.
More than 48 government dignitaries from around the world have expressed their concern for Taiwan in the aftermath of Wednesday's earthquake. They include Japanese Prime Minister Kishida Fumio, UK Foreign Minister David Cameron, and European Council President Charles Michel. U.S. officials have also offered to provide help to Taiwan if needed. Let's hear from them.
And foremost, we express our deepest condolences on behalf of the United States to the at least 9 people dead and 900 injured and their families and everyone who was affected. We stand ready to support the people of Taiwan at this difficult time.
We are standing by, the United States is standing by on the ready for any necessary assistance.
After the pandemic, Taiwan has become increasingly important in global supply chains and in terms of its strategic location. So the governments of many countries are willing to express their position, their concern for Taiwan. That shows that Taiwan's status and value in the world is on the rise.
In addition to many countries offering help, foreign media reports, experts, and even people online have also remarked on Taiwan's good preparation for earthquakes. Commenters have praised Taiwan, saying the country has done its homework when it comes to disaster prevention. They say that preparation coupled with strict seismic building codes have helped keep casualty levels low. Photographer Lian Mei-en was distraught to see her grandmother slipping into depression from encroaching dementia. One day, she put a pair of sunglasses on her and was struck by her intriguing beauty, so she invited her to take some fashion photos. She never imagined they would become so popular, turning her grandmother into an overnight sensation and giving her a new fervor for life.
Facing the camera is model Hao Yunjun, a new sensation in the fashion world at the age of 96. Giving her direction is her granddaughter, Ling Mei-en, herself an accomplished photographer.
I'm a fashion photographer. One time I was snapping some shots of my grandma at home and found that she had a bit of character, her own attitude. She makes you want to dig deeper, like this is someone with a story. So I asked her to come in for a shoot.
It was this photo of a sunglasses-clad Granny Hao that Lian found so captivating. She then put together a team for a formal series, never thinking it would get the response it did. Before then, Hao had been slipping away from illness.
I heard she had dementia when I was abroad. I came back to see her, and even before she said anything, you could tell from her body language that something was different. She was so down. She told us not to give her anything to eat, that it was a waste.
When she was younger, Hao sold clothing and shoes in Taidong to support her family. Her husband's passing hit her hard, compounded by the dual blows of dementia and depression.
It's very important to her to help other people. When she started working, I told her she has an income now. At first she was happy, but she didn't care that much about the money. She just asked to treat everyone to dinner. I told her she inspired other women to be more confident and pursue their interests, even when others thought they might not be good at it, and she was very moved by that.
With the knowledge that she is needed, Hao's condition has gradually improved. For Lian, the redemption goes both ways.
I was going through a divorce at the time and had spent 7 years working in England. So coming back to Taiwan felt like a defeat. I'm so grateful to my grandma because seeing this change in her made me realise that my situation isn't nearly as bad as I thought. I can also become a blessing to others.
Lian spent 7 years working as a photographer in England and has published a book of her life's work. She says that photography is a form of self-expression. Photos may have edges, but life is boundless.
And here's another inspiring story. When Xie Laiying moved from China to Taiwan, she was marrying into a tea-producing family. But when her husband sadly passed away prematurely, she had to take charge fast. She successfully took on her in-laws' factory and expanded the business into tea leaf farming. Now she's mentoring her son as he prepares to inherit the family firm. Let's go to Taoyuan to meet this formidable tea expert.
She gently tips some leaves into the cup and pours in the boiling water. In a few moments, a delicious aroma is rising from the cup. A good cup of tea relies not just on the quality of the leaves. The key is in how the tea is processed.
We used to make our Oriental Beauty from other people's tea farms. But then, when Oriental Beauty became very popular, everyone was getting into the tea farm business. So we thought we might as well rent some land and grow our own leaves. Because when you manage it yourself, the quality is much higher.
From processing other farmers' leaves to managing the entire process in-house, it's been a difficult path over several decades, which Xie Laiying remembers well. Born in China, she moved to Taiwan for marriage and took up the running of this tea factory with her Taiwanese husband, the second generation in the family business. But misfortune was just around the corner.
My husband fell ill suddenly and passed away just about 6 months later. But I thought, I should be able to take this on. I'm not going to let this business collapse. I can take this on.
With her husband gone and a small child to raise, Xie took on the running of the tea factory. When her son graduated, Xie sent him to learn tea processing overseas in preparation for him to inherit the business.
The factory's actual operations are quite well developed already, but we have been lacking in theory and knowledge about the industry. So I've studied some theories and also competed in some tea arts competitions. Every industry is the same, but especially in the tea leaf industry, you really need the next generation of young people to come in.
Xie has seen her family through turbulent times and won many tea processing awards. Now her son is preparing to take on the Oriental Beauty production and hopefully bring its special aromas to even more customers internationally.